ESPN Radio, 1100 and 100.9 FM, is KWWN Las Vegas, K265EZ. It's time for the MMA Insiders.
Boy, no rest for the weary, huh? You exhausted? You tired? Boy, John got screwed on this one. So we brought back the MMA Insiders. It used to be a Friday show. It may be a Friday show down the road, but until football season, it'll be Thursdays. There's too much going on in mixed martial arts. We can't get it in during Cofield and Company, and we put together a good cast. So Adam will be a regular. Brett Okamoto, who's going to join us in about 45 minutes on the ground around Brooklyn. I don't know if he's staying in Brooklyn. UFC 208 is going on this weekend, so Brett's going to join us. Yeah, John got a little screwed on this one. You actually kind of have a date. Which I'm actually shocked you actually mentioned where it is off the air. I feel like you're normally afraid that we might just show up.
No way.
I don't go places. Yeah. Might show up.
Well, I mean, go ahead and show up. I'm not going to be there because I got screwed.
Oh, you're not going at all now?
No.
I got screwed. I have to run the show.
Yeah, the message, no, I'm hungry. I'll get you something and bring it home.
That's a nightmare. So
she might be listening now on the way.
Is she going to get that chicken chalupa?
No, it's much higher scale restaurant.
Oh, I just want. I didn't know she was actually going to go to that spot.
They do special orders.
Can I please get a chicken chalupa?
Yes.
If you haven't heard of it, just Google it. Bring me what you can.
It's good. All right, well, since it's 6 o'clock, why don't we do a – we love countdown, so why don't we do our MMA 6? So we'll count down from 6 to 1. And like I said, UFC 208 preview coming up in about a half an hour. And Brett Okamoto live in New York, about 45 minutes. So we always like to look back. So first one I wanted to hit with you, Adam, fight expert, covering thecage.com. Couple of fights in H-Town last weekend. I've been saying for a while – the 115 title will be held by the short, squatty, powerful, Las Vegas-based, now, Jessica Andrade. How'd she look?
I thought she looked fantastic. And, you know, I've been kind of saying the same thing. I will say, I think you were the first one on the bandwagon. I was not too far behind. But Jessica Andrade dropped from 135 to 115. She was a good fighter at 135. That's a huge drop to 115. Now she's got the size. She's got the strength. She has been fantastic. She was in her first two fights. I think the one question people had is she's coming out really impressively, but is there any way she can maintain that pace over an entire fight? Because she stopped the first two fights pretty early, and I think she answered those questions and more. Now, of course, if she does fight for the title next, which it looks like she will, it'll be two more rounds, but she came out against Angela Hill and was, you know, throwing not only powerful punches, but a lot of punches and flurries and just pursuing her all around the cage, and she was able to keep that up over three rounds. I thought that was the most impressive part of her performance. A lot of people were really impressed with Angela Hill, too. I think more out of surprise that she was able to compete with Jessica Andrade.
Andrade was like a minus 500 favorite.
Yeah. And
she took a lot of shots, and I don't think it says anything about Andrade's power, because I think she's got knockout power, which is pretty rare at 115 with women.
Yeah.
I think Angela Hill's got a good chin.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got good cardio, too. So if she had gotten tired, you know, that makes you more susceptible later in the fight to knockouts. So while she drives me nuts on social media, Angela Hill, because she's kind of a smart ass, which, well, you know, I am too.
Didn't she go after you?
She did go after me one time. Yeah. Tried to basically pull the do you know who I am on me. I'm like, I know you are. I know you are. Now, she was impressive, but she still got her ass kicked.
Yeah, she
which
did.
Which was sort of, you know, I enjoyed that. And you know that I like Andrade, and I think that she's going to give Joanna Champion, a good challenge. Now, people countered my love of Andrade by saying a little wild and maybe not fast enough to keep up with Joanna Champion, that the champ would be able to pick her apart.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think Andrade wins the fight. I think it's a great fight.
Really?
But I think Andrade beats her. And I think Joanna Janjacek is really good. Her striking has been better than anyone in the division. She has pretty much been dominant. She had some struggles early with Gedalia in that fight last year. She had some trouble with Valerie Letourneau, actually, too.
We mentioned Claudia Gedalia. The problem in that fight, and everyone thought it was a great fight, I didn't think it was great late because I thought Gedalia got really tired.
She gassed.
Andrade won't get tired.
Yeah.
So it's like Gedalia with a gas tank. And I also think Andrade can mix it up a little bit. I hope she does. I hope she doesn't go out there swinging for the fences for five rounds. But I think she can also mix it up and be a threat to take her down.
I think she'll definitely be. I think that will be.
You. I think you're ahead of me now on this.
I far surpassed you.
Do you love her?
It's Andrade and Khabib. That's like my two obsessions in the sport. There's no question. I think it's a really tough matchup for Joanna. I actually thought that Joanna was going to try to, not necessarily just herself, like pick and choose, but there was some talk that it was going to be Michelle Waterson as an opponent, and I think Michelle Waterson's good, but I thought that Joanna was going to try to push for that, but it looks like it is going to be Andrade getting the shot, and I think it's the toughest matchup she has right now, and I'll be picking Andrade in that fight when they do come together. I just think all, for all those reasons, yeah, I think she can strike with her, and I think she'd be dangerous striking, but I think Andrade takes her down, and I think she wears her down and frustrates her, and I think there's several ways that Andrade can beat her. It's not even just a one-dimensional shot that she has. So I think it's a really tough matchup in the strawweight division for Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Did you ever think you'd be this fired up about female fighting?
Yes. I didn't think you would.
You didn't think I would, or you knew I would?
I didn't think you would.
No, I didn't think I would either.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still not pleased at the back end of both divisions. I don't think the skill level is very good, and actually there's going to be a third. We'll get to that. I don't think the depth is there, but there's enough of a, you know, there's a collection of three or four fighters where the fights are getting better and they're competitive, so I can get fired up that way. All right, next one. One more look at the card last week, a fight night right before the Super Bowl. The main event featured a really intriguing story. Really intriguing. Danish Bermudez is a top 10 guy. He's been a very active fighter, really good with takedowns and takedown defense. He was going against Chan Sung Jung.
Who?
That'll be the last time you hear that.
Yeah.
Who was away for about 3 years, Adam. Why?
Yeah. If you are South Korean, you are required to serve a stint in the military. I think it's before the age of 29, and I believe it's 2.5 years is the stint that you have to serve. So at some point, you have to do that. So he was a UFC fighter at the top of his game. In fact, his last fight was for the featherweight title. So he was at the top of the division and had to step away in the prime of his career from basically 26 to 29 to serve a stint in the military. Now, he was actually fortunate in that he had been so beat up during his career that he wasn't healthy enough to be, out on the battlefield, or so to speak. He wasn't he had a desk job in the military, basically. Because he was so injured, he had shoulder problems, he had some other injuries. So he was working a desk, so he had regular hours, so he was able to train during that time. But still, that is 3 years away from competition in the prime of your career. Now, he fought on Super Bowl weekend, that's last Saturday. His last fight before that was August 2013. That is insane.
It's crazy. Should be some ring rust.
You would think so. But he came out, he took a shot early, and looked wobbled a little bit, but that's just how he is. He gets hit, it doesn't matter.
Have we mentioned his real name?
Korean Zombie?
The Korean Zombie.
Yes.
Because he was never branded last week with his proper name.
Bermudez versus Zombie.
Yep. And I think I referenced him as Zombie all week long. It's the Korean Zombie, and that's all you got out of him. Korean Zombie, Korean Zombie, Korean Zombie. So he got rocked early, and then what happened?
Went right through it, as he usually does, and landed an uppercut, and Bermudez was done, finished him up on the ground. Bermudez had an issue with the stoppage. He talked about it after the fight, said didn't think he was out, probably could have kept going, but I thought he was pretty much done. And a sensational win for the Korean Zombie. Now, I thought he would be able to, you know, to stay in the fight, to give Bermudez trouble, and maybe find a way to win it on the ground. I thought maybe submission was his best way to go after all the time away. Maybe he would have some struggles early. And we know his chin, like, he does get rattled, and he gets, you know, startled, and he's you know, bouncing around. You think he's finished, and then he goes right through it. That's why he's the zombie. But he did it. He just picked right up where he left off. Like, he hadn't missed a beat, went right through it, and finished with a knockout punch, which I really didn't see coming. Like I said, I thought he could either win a decision, if he did win, because he was an underdog, could either win a decision or find a way to get, you know, to put Bermudez in trouble on the ground. But I thought just really showed that he's still a very dangerous fighter. And I guess you look for the silver lining, but it's that maybe the time away was helpful to him. I mean, I think it's way too much time, but he did have a lot of injuries. He was, you know, going through a lot of really big battles in the cage. You know, you can only take so much, and I think it rejuvenated his mind and really his body. And, you know, maybe this is the best. It took prime years away from him, you know, trying to rise up the ranks, but looks sensational and is right back in the mix now.
Any idea who he might fight at 145? It's a good division.
It is.
And it's still going to be a really weird feeling about that division.
Well, it's weird because the champion's not the champion anymore.
There's still a champion, Conor McGregor, but they stripped him of the title because of promotional needs.
And then had an interim champion that they made champion in Jose Aldo, and then created an interim title for Max Holloway. He wants to fight Max Holloway. I don't know that that's going to happen, but there's a lot of, you know, contenders right around there. I saw some people lobbying for like a Frankie Edgar fight somewhere along those lines. I think
against Zombie.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I think there's a lot of interesting challenges, but I think the fact is he's going to fight somebody in the top 10. I mean, he's right back to being a contender now. He's a marketable guy. We know. I mean, with a nickname like that, and you see the shirts still all around. He's a guy who it's easy to, you know, to recognize when he's on a card. You know, it's going to be a good fight. So I think his performance, the way he's able to finish and look just like his old self, puts him right back in the mix and. Gives them another marketable guy in that division, which has plenty of them.
Next story. What's going on with Luke Rockhold? Is he coming back?
I don't know. I mean, he's modeling. Break,
and now he's doing... Okay, what did you say?
He's modeling.
Yeah. Wasn't there a contract struggle? And he said, I can make enough money modeling. I'll sit out until I get what I want.
Yeah, and then immediately put out like some modeling pictures and then appeared on a couple of magazines, I think, to send the message like, hey, you know what? If you don't want to give me a fight, you don't. There's been, you know, some rumored fights along the way, but... Yeah, he was hurt, and then he became a celebrity because he's on TV shows and he's dating celebrities. So,
yeah, if you don't know who he is, he was the short-lived middleweight champion who... I think we know now, Adam, that when he got ready for the Michael Bisping fight, he was not ready.
Oh, yeah.
That his behavior before the fight was just not that of a champion in terms of being focused.
Well, he's...
Incredibly cocky.
He's always been cocky, but yeah. I think the title made him even more so. And then he fights... You know, he has a fight, and... It falls out, and he fights a late notice replacement who he didn't think had any chance to beat him, and he talked about that going into the fight. And I remember talking to him and said, "Isn't this kind of attitude about, you know, you being so much better, and you know you being the champion and him not being warranted of the title shot and all this stuff? Isn't this dangerous? Because if you do lose, like it looks awful." And he said, "I'm not losing." Like
he just laughed.
Yeah, it was like, well, I guess it could be dangerous, but I'm not losing to that guy. It was as confident as I've ever seen anybody, and I guess dangerously so because he got knocked out in the first round by Michael Bisping, and then we haven't seen him.
So that fight was last June.
Yeah.
He was just seen on a video the other day getting some knee treatment, and it just reads, Luke Rockhold, could have been worse than that, Luke Rockhold having stem cells liposuctioned out of his fat and injected into his knee. I did not click on the video. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound...
So he's still on the mend. He doesn't have a broken heart, does he? Demi Lovato dumped him?
I mean, I've heard that. I don't think it's the case.
It's official.
No, I've heard from what I consider fairly reliable sources that was the other way around.
What do you think of that, John? That Demi Lovato, the singer, was dumped by Rockhold.
According to MMA Weekly, Demi Lovato left him for a guy from Bellator. So
yeah, and I saw her at his fight.
Well, give us, come on, deep dive on this. What do you hear on this? Because this is stuff that people don't know. They got it from TMZ that Demi Lovato dumped him. You hear that it's Rockhold.
Yeah.
So why didn't Rockhold want to be around this? Because, you know, listen, Travis Brown is still an active fighter. We're going to, you know, we'll have a chance to talk about Travis Brown. And then, but he, you know, he's chosen a life where he is with an incredibly wealthy woman. So I don't know what he's going to do in terms of his fight career long term.
Now, if you are a fan of Demi
Rockhold
Lovato,
could do the same thing with Demi Lovato and just say, hey, you know what? She's a millionaire. Let's do it. But
if you're a fan,
like he wanted to do that.
If you're a fan and follow her career, as right. I know you do, you're a big Demi Lovato fan.
She's great on the X Factor.
And you listen to her music and know anything about her, you know she is she's a recovering addict. She's talked about it a lot. It's a big part of her life. She is not a partier in that sense. And Luke Rockhold very much is.
I remember one of the last time around we did the MMA Insiders, which we got rid of don't know, a couple years ago. I think one of the stories I recall talking about was Rockhold shirtless hanging out at the Speedway.
Yes.
And we're like, man, this guy, he loves to party and he loves women.
He likes lots of women. Yeah.
Which doesn't really make for a dude who's ready to settle down, even at 32 years old.
And from what I understand, he really, really liked her, and she's a very, very nice girl.
Yeah.
But
it happens, right? If you don't mesh with somebody, like, you know.
It's almost like a...
John's girlfriend, can we say this on the air, is going to be moving into the bar industry, and, you know, she'll throw some back here and there. What if John's a wallflower, and he's like, I don't like bars? It ain't going to work.
Well, I think from...
So that breakup we predicted a while ago is probably going to happen.
It seemed from his perspective that it was almost like a, listen, I'm a little too out there for you. Maybe it's better if I kind of let you go.
The rest of the MMA 6 on the way.
MMA Insider Show. World Championship Rugby is coming back to Sam Boyd Stadium March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. As 16 countries battle for world supremacy at the USA 7s Rugby Tournament and International Beer Festival. Buy tickets now at UNLVtickets.com. Brought to you by Terrible Herbst and UNLV Tickets.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-600-3166. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-600-3166. That's 1-800-600-3166. 1-800-600-3166.
Mike, can you pick me up? My car just got towed for no insurance.
Nancy, why don't you have insurance?
It's too expensive. I couldn't pay $125 a month, and my insurance just canceled me.
Why don't you call Freeway Insurance? I have the same car as you, and I only pay $29 a month. You'd be saving over $1,000 a year.
Wow, Freeway Insurance is going to save me a lot of money. What's their number?
It's 702-727-3435. That's 702-727-3435.
Do they have an office close to me?
Freeway has offices all over Nevada.
Give me that number again.
It's 702-727-3435. 702-727-3435.
Freeway Insurance has rates as low as $29 a month. Tickets, accidents, no license, no problem. The pros at Freeway Insurance are here to save you money. Call now and see how much you can save. 702-727-3435. 702-727-3435. Freeway Insurance, the auto insurance experts. Restrictions apply, liability premium only.
Rebel Baseball is back Friday, February 17th at 6 p.m. against Omaha. First 500 fans at the gate will receive a free baseball cap. Tickets on sale now. Visit UNLVtickets.com or call 702-739-FANS. Baseball grows here.
The following is an incredible, life-changing free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing everything more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-700-5105. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and even free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-5105. That's 1-800-700-5105. 1-800-700-5105.
Rise Against. And Deftones. Together live. Saturday, July 8th, downtown Las Vegas Events Center with special guest Thrice and Frank Iero and the Patience. Tickets on sale Friday, February 10th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Rise Against and Deftones live.
If you want to save money on gas, stop by Findlay Toyota. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Toyota is the most fuel-efficient full-line automotive manufacturer. And at Findlay Toyota,
we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Las Vegas? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Las Vegas area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Las Vegas is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-566-3900. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-566-3900. That's 1-800-566-3900.
Yeah, yeah. It's time for the MMA Insiders.
Yeah, Blaster of the Past, we're back. Well, I mean, it's the same crew from Cofield & Company. It won't always be that way. I will host from time to time, but it's going to be Adam and Bert Okamoto. Wanted to have the MMA show back here on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. I almost was ready to pimp the wrong place there. 691-87 if you want to give us some feedback. So we're going to do an hour every Thursday, and I apologize. I know. I like Spain and Izzy a lot. I think our levels match, right? You can hear both of us, so that's one little difference. But
I think we're right.
Yeah,
Adam, go ahead. Let me see.
I think we're good. I think
this is right. It sounds a lot better.
They have a little trouble with it, but they did do a very good show. But on Thursdays, we're going to be on from 6 to 7, and then if you miss it, we'll make sure it's podcasted, and eventually we're going to video the whole show because we'll try to video. What is that? We'll Facebook Live the whole show. We'll get fighters in studio so you can see the fighters just looking at us in odd ways like Robbie Lawler did about 3 years ago where he's like, what are you two all about? We've had some good moments with MMA interviews in the studios here. UFC fighter, and it turns out I was right. I thought he was an odd bird, and I got a weird vibe off him. Uriah Hall did an interview in here when he and... Why am I blanking on his name now?
Gastelum?
Yeah, Kelvin Gastelum, who's one of my favorite fighters. I don't know why I blanked there, but they were in studio, and I guess after the interview, because I have a certain style, it might be a little off-putting, right? A little weird to read, seem a little too serious sometimes. Uriah Hall walked out of the studio, and he's like, I don't think that guy likes me.
And he just didn't know you don't like anybody.
It's not that I don't like anybody.
But hasn't that relationship with Uriah Hall continued?
Well, I actually did an interview with him like 2 months ago from London, but he was doing it to everybody and just gave one-word answers. But I heard he was doing that, so I completely prepped like 70 questions, and I was like, "We are getting 10 minutes out of this." And this guy, and a lot of it was, John, do you have a? This is a great approach when someone gives you short answers and they're trying to throw you off your game. Like, believe it or not, folks, I actually before they rose to levels of like superstardom, I would have regular conversations on radio with Bob Huggins and Nick Saban. And I think they do the same thing. Saban doesn't do a lot of radio now, but Huggins actually, he's weird. He'll make you think he doesn't like doing it, but he likes doing it. But you got to be ready to like get the short answers. But yeah, the Uriah Hall, this is a long story. Uriah Hall with the short answers, just like, why?
Why didn't that come together for more New York fighters like yourself?
I don't know, politics maybe.
Why do you think you're involved in the politics?
I don't know. They pick and choose.
Do you think there are other victims of the politics too?
Of course.
Have you had difficulties with politics with UFC in the past? I don't remember anything that you've complained about.
No.
No? What do you think of...
All right, okay, we get the idea.
I like that interview.
I was ready.
It's good.
I was ready. All right, our MMA 6, we count down six big stories in the world of mixed martial arts. We're going to get to UFC 208 here in a second. Rapid fire on this. Rumors that Mike Goldberg deposed former UFC announcer may be in negotiations now with Bellator. What are you hearing?
It could cut into his community theater time.
It could.
Which is unfortunate.
Sure.
He did have a great stint as the father on Legally Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite plays.
Can you answer the question and stop taking shots at Mike for Community Theater?
But didn't you just say the word, but what you want's absurd?
That's him. Just so you know.
I thought he was good.
He's a good singer.
So Bellator might scoop him up.
Yeah, they could. And I don't like it.
Do they need him?
No, I don't like it for them because
they already have a play-by-play guy who's very good.
Yeah.
Sean Grandy? I think that's who it is?
Yeah, and I think it's a shot.
Does it look petty?
It's a shot at UFC in a way. And it's also a I think they believe on some level it adds like a credibility of like, hey, this is the guy that was the voice of UFC. You're going to see our fights, and you're going to be reminded that, you know, it's high-level MMA on some level. But I don't like it in the sense that they have, like, a brand. They're doing their thing. I don't like the, hey, we're going to make this look more like UFC angle. So I don't like it from that perspective. Not that I don't think Mike Goldberg is good and, you know, that part's aside.
I thought he was fine. I stood up for Goldie all down the stretch.
We disagree on that. I thought he was never very good, and then I think he gave up a long time ago. So I don't know. Maybe he'd be rejuvenated moving over. But I just don't like the move from Bellator's perspective if that's what they do.
So what's going to happen with UFC now? Pay-per-view this weekend.
Yep.
They're talking about a dream team that they're going to put together middle of the year. They got some contracts to figure out. So right now they're going to go with a three-man booth, which I think they always should have. I actually think the third man should be the guy who goes into the cage. I don't think that's going to change with Rogan, or is it? So now we got a three-man team this weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be John Anik as the play-by-play guy, which is a fantastic move for them. It's going to be Joe Rogan still doing it for now. I don't know how long we're going to see that.
And Dominic Cruz as the third guy.
No.
No?
Daniel Cormier?
Okay.
For now. I think I know the fighters are going to change, you know, on a rotating basis, because guys like Cormier have, you know, fight camps and stuff like that.
What do you think of Cormier?
That's going to.
John, do we have any of the Cormier from the, when he was trying to, he's really doing the embrace debate stuff. He's really taking on the, he's embracing the role of being the troublemaker on FS1 shows, to the point where he can lead a show or he can be the rabble rouser. He tried to go at, who is it, Gina Carano. All she said was, Ronda, we should all root for Ronda and back her to do whatever she wants to do.
Really bad adversity in fighting, she left. So I'm talking about her in terms of fighting. She can't really advise Ronda in terms of fighting because when it got tough, she left. It's not in my character to walk away whenever things got tough. So I'm saying, why does that opinion matter? We don't want Ronda to do what you did because you left. But that's the Gina Carano that I tuned into Showtime to watch every Saturday. The fiery Gina Carano. The girl that's showing some gumption. Maybe I'll piss her off enough that she goes, you know what, I'm going to go and fight again and prove this dude that I didn't run away from the sport.
Yeah, she's not going to, and she told him to shut up several times. But my point is, Cormier, I like Cormier's potential.
So do I.
Because he's a natural. And I get the feeling that while he's finishing out his active fighting career and then he transitions, he's not going to give a rat's ass if he pisses other fighters off, which you have to have someone like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think for sure. I like him in studio. I like him doing interviews, that kind of thing. I don't get to hear enough broadcasts because I'm at a lot of fights. I think when I've heard Cruz, I think he's good. I think he's really good. I think
he's too dry.
He speaks over people's heads too.
Yeah, is that
he's
not what they
want? He's way too technical and way too much. And I think Brian Stann at a level does that too. I think Anik, who I can't say enough good things about as a play-by-play guy, I think he's fantastic. And Stan together is as good as it's going to get, but I also think there is an element of being too polished and too technical.
What
at times,
are they looking for? The new company, the new owners on the pay-per-view. If they're talking about a dream team, then they want sizzle, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
And I think Rogan will be done at some point very soon, and I think you're going to have Anik, Stan, and a third person who we've heard the Jim Rome rumors out there. I think it's much more likely to be Max Kellerman.
What?
That fills in that role.
Max Kellerman.
Yeah. It would be, which I think, I don't know. I don't think you like him very much. I don't know what he would add.
I don't dislike him as a fight analyst.
But I think it adds a more, it adds like more of an outsider. Like he's not an MMA guy. And I think Stan is just, I think he's really good and really polished. I don't know that he relates to the fan that's tuning in that's not really a big fan of the sport. And I think, you know, a guy like Kellerman or an outside voice that is professional but also kind of adds, you know, a different perspective to things, helps relate to the average fan. So eventually, I think we're going to see this play out with some form of Anik Stan and a third person in there.
All right, so top two stories in our MMA 6, which is taking a long time, but we'll get through them. We're back. We have a lot to say. MMA Insiders here on Thursdays now, 6 o'clock, and we'll have it podcasted up at lvsportsnetwork.com. One more Bellator story. But at one point, and it may have been, what, as recent as like 2 years ago, if you're looking for like top five 20-somethings that are going to be champions in the UFC and maybe for a long time, they could be dominant, that list would include Rory McDonald. He got involved in some rough fights against some really good opponents, and that it wasn't embarrassing to lose a war fight of the year type fight with Robbie Lawler and then just fight tentatively with Stephen Thompson. Well, he moved on to Bellator. I don't know how it's going to work out. I hope they can find him fights. He needs a dance partner.
Yeah.
Not only in the ring, but outside to promote fights, because he's really, I'll use the word, kind of creepy and stoic. Scary, but creepy, stoic, and scary. They found one. I think this will actually be a good fight against Paul Daly, who is a Brit, big mouth, knockout power, and is going to talk a lot of crap.
Yeah, and it's. I think it's a good fight. I think it's a really tough fight.
You don't sound interested. May 19th, London, Spike, free.
I think that's the thing. It's in London. And so I think it's going to be out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people here. But I think it's a really intriguing fight from a matchup perspective, because Rory is, as you were saying, really polished, really solid fundamentally. And Daly is just a guy who can come in and just change all of your game plan just with one shot and knock you out. And I think that's a tough matchup. I wanted that London card to be Daly and Michael Page. I thought that was the way to go. But I think this is a good fight for him. I'm a little worried, like I said, about being in London, kind of being out of people's minds.
Yeah.
A non-UFC fight that's not in the U.S. becomes very difficult.
I'll make a prediction. If McDonald fights the right fight, then he should be like a $7 favorite. If he fights standing and stands in the pocket, then he's an underdog.
Well,
like that's how bad. Well, that's how bad Paul Daly is, I think, in terms of takedown defense and being able to get up. And McDonald should be able to get him down and lay on him, but he might not do it. Then he might get knocked out.
I think it's
what makes for a great fight.
Yeah, I think anytime you have that much of a contrast in styles, but and also a mystery of how somebody's going to fight, I think that's what makes really intriguing fights. And you don't know how Rory. And it's been a while since Rory fought too. And there's been questions about where his mind is, and you know there was doubts about if he even wanted to fight again after he took a lot of abuse in a couple of fights, and then you know goes away, goes to Bellator. I think there's a lot of those kind of questions surrounding him.
Top story. Conor McGregor has to be the top story in our first MMA Insiders in a long time. News this week with Conor. Well, I've seen a couple of cases of pretty reputable fighters and trainers in MMA saying that, hey, Conor can do this. He can, and this is go against Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, and he can take him out. One notable fighter said, hey, he has enough power, he can take him out in the first round. Mark Henry, who's a really good, you know, striking coach, good coach in general, with Frankie Edgar and Eddie Alvarez and others in the New Jersey, you know, Philly area there. He said, hey, you know what? He can knock him out inside of four rounds. Does he have a puncher's chance? Yes. Four rounds would be a freaking disaster. He must get him early. And you, again, have seen more evidence of Conor boxing. What is this video, and does it get you hyped?
No. I think, first of all, I still think Conor is just playing a game here with everybody. You know, he's talking about coming out here, getting his license, going through all the whole rigmarole to fool everybody that this fight might happen. I obviously don't think it's going to happen. And I feel like he's doing all these things just to mess with people. So I don't want to judge just based on a video. And I also am not a technical analyst like a lot of these other people you're talking about are. I don't, you know, who am I to judge how somebody looks in a sparring session? But there is a video out there of Conor McGregor, and he put it out there of him, you know, in a boxing ring doing some sparring, and I thought he looked awful. Like, I wasn't impressed at all. I know some people were saying, well, he looks like he has pretty good power. Yeah, of course he does. But, I mean, he was reaching, like, really bad reaching on his punches.
I think when I watch him box, he's off balance.
Yeah.
Horribly. Because, he, you know, he he really doesn't use a jab a whole lot in MMA. It's a long straight left that people can't see.
Yeah.
And he's great at controlling distance, and he's calm the whole time. Well, guess who he's going against?
Yeah, the best at that.
Like, the best ever.
Right. And so, in controlling distance in MMA is a lot different than...
By the way, I don't mean the best ever boxer. I mean the best at controlling distance and working things defensively, but also, like, really using a jab, shoulder rolls, covering up, and also countering when a guy gets off balance.
No shot.
Floyd's coming through with a punch, and you're going to get... You might not go down, but you're going to get nicked up, and he's going to score against you.
And when you watch Conor throw his power left shots, he is so off balance and so stretched out, he would just be abused by Floyd coming back. I think he would just be in a lot of... I've always thought he'd be in a lot of trouble. Just watching this, and again, he would train harder. He would focus more just on pure boxing. He would do a lot more getting ready for the fight. But I watched it, and I'm like... I don't see this happening, and I don't see it going well if it does.
So we're going to, about 10 minutes, we're going to go out to Brett Okamoto, who's on the ground from ESPN.com in Brooklyn. So let's turn our attention to, they have a pay-per-view this weekend. It's a weird pay-per-view. The most exciting female now in mixed martial arts is Cyborg.
Okay.
Who is Cyborg?
I thought you were going to say Jermaine Durand.
No. It's Cyborg. She's basically unbeatable and unbeaten for like 15 years now. It's not 15, but 10
years.
It's
her first fight, I believe.
She has rare knockout power in female MMA. She's clearly the best 145er in the world. The promotion hasn't had a spot for her. They played this game with Ronda to protect her. Good move. You know, she can't move up five and have Cyborg move down five to make a super fight. We finally have a 145 division! Now we get to see Cyborg, who's fought a couple of times under the promotion's banner, in a title fight. This weekend, the 145 strap is on the line.
And they created the division for Cyborg, as you mentioned, because they just figured, after some weight-cutting issues, no way she was going to be able to get down to 135. Why not create a division for her, just like they did for Ronda? Here you go, 145, and they offered her two fights. They offered her Jermaine Durandamy. They offered her Holly Holm. She turned down both, and then there is a lot of gray area of what happened, but just a couple of weeks later, after she turned down both fights, she did have a positive drug test, and so she is suspended. So she's out. Well, we've already decided to create this division. The fights were offered to Durandamy and Holm. Let's match them up and put them for the 145-pound title and then figure out Cyborg down the road. So that's what we have. UFC 208, Brooklyn on Saturday. Holly Holm, Jermaine Durandamy for the 145-pound women's title. You would assume, after all the stuff is worked out, whatever suspension is determined, Cyborg comes back, fights the winner, and she moves forward. But I don't know if that's 100% the case, because I don't know that they're committed to 145 pounds going forward.
Wait a second. Wait, what? Wait, they made a division.
Yeah.
They're awarding the first title ever at 145, and you just said what?
I don't know that they're committed to having the division. I don't know that this is a new division, or if it's a title fight, and they're just going to be like, yeah, we're done.
That sounds ridiculous, Adam.
It does. But I wouldn't be surprised.
If what?
If they said, this is for the title, and the division's gone. I'm not going to be shocked by that at all if they determine this, because it depends how long Cyborg's out. Again, Holly Holm has already said, essentially, what she wants to do is get the 135-pound title back. So if she wins this title, then drops back down and tries to get a second title at 135, and, you know, I don't think the loser of this fight is necessarily... Like, they could go back to 135 as well. These are 235-pound fighters that are fighting for the 145-pound belt that the person who the belt was created for is not eligible to fight right now.
This is lunacy.
And I think they could have a much deeper division at 125. That's probably the division they should have started. But they created this division for somebody who now can't fight. Because there's more depth at 125. There's more fight. And there's actually 115-pounders that really hate making 115 and don't think they can get down. And then there's 135-pound fighters that should be fighting at 125, but they're fighting up. And I think there's more fighters outside the UFC that could fight at 125 as well. I think they could find a deeper division there if you want to have another division. 145-pound... There's not a whole lot out there. There's Cyborg. You created this for Cyborg.
Yeah.
But now she is suspended for a second time for a positive test.
Reality is, if you're, you know, when you start looking for a talent pool in certain weights, like, you know, the deepest weight divisions in boxing for the longest time were, you know, really 140 to 160. Right?
Yeah.
You know, the average size male athlete, if they're going to cut a little weight, we're not talking NFL players, is probably in that, you know, 170 to 180 range for males. So they're going to drop down to that weight area I just mentioned. And for females, you get the feel that, you know, the average athlete as a female, unless they're like 6 feet tall, is not going to be rocking 160, 170, 180. I'm not saying women don't weigh that, but fighters, that you're getting into an area that they're big women, you know? Yeah. And we've seen Cyborg, she walks around probably at 172 and goes down to 145.
Yeah,
so it's just not going to be the talent pool. There might be down the road. Women's right. MMA is just growing now. So, yeah, this will be interesting. It'll be a good fight.
I think it's going
to the ground, right? It's going to be stand-up the whole time, banging away. Holmes great with the kicks.
And I think it's a really good style matchup, because what we've seen out of Holly Holm is that if you stay back and make her attack you, she is in real trouble. That's not her strength at all. And when we've seen her fight her best, think Ronda Rousey, it's you attack her and come forward, and she can sit back and be patient and pick you apart with counters. That's where she's best. And I don't expect Jermaine Durandamy to sit back and make Holly Holm come forward. I think she attacks, and that's what Holly wants to do. So I think you're going to see an aggressive Jermaine Durandamy and a Holly Holm in her comfort zone of being able to sit back and counter-strike. And I think we're going to see a much better Holly Holm than we've seen in her last two fights, which... You know, Shevchenko fought her last time, and Shevchenko had a great game plan. She watched what happens when you sit back, and she actually sat back and made Holly Holm come forward and made her pay. Durandamy, I don't think, is going to do that. That's not in her style. She's very aggressive. She'll come forward, and Holly Holm, I think we'll see, you know, classic Holly Holm again, and I think that makes it a really fun fight.
Anderson Silva is on this card. We'll ask the question, why?
MMA Insider Show.
I'm Jim Snyder.
And I'm Marie Mortera. We want to thank you for making News 3 your number one choice for news.
At 11, you can count on us to have the big story of the day.
Plus breaking news that matters to you.
Watch News 3 live at 11 with Jim Snyder and Marie Mortera.
If you have high blood pressure or diabetes, your medication could be affecting your ability to perform. Vivacity Clinic has helped thousands on medications improve their male performance. They can help you too, guaranteed. For an appointment, call 702-457-3888. Your performance will be back, guaranteed.
One Nevada has new, lower rates on mortgage loans. With no points, local underwriting, and low closing costs, now may be the best time in decades to finance or refinance your home. Apply online today or find a local branch at onenevada.org.
One Nevada Credit Union. Our one focus is you.
One Nevada is open to all Clark County residents. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Don't wait till President's Day weekend to get the truck you want at a price you can afford. Our President's Day sales event is already on at Henderson Chevrolet. Lease a brand new 2017 Chevy Silverado Double Cab for only $199 a month for well-qualified lessees. Beat the rush and save big now at Henderson Chevrolet in the Valley Auto Mall. Find new roads.
Start number Y0883 plus tax, tax, and dealer fees. Zero security deposit. 39-month lease with $59.99 due at signing. 10K miles per year with 25 cents each additional mile. Purchase and end of lease with 25-21. Take delivery by 2/21/17.
Michael Lehman and Diamond Jewelers celebrate the moment.
There's magic in a diamond.
There's power in gold.
It's a perfect combination that will never grow old. Make the moment magic. Come do me right.
No one does it better.
Or you better get it right. Michael Lehman.
Gotta have it now.
Michael Lehman. Gotta show you how.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael Lehman and Diamond Jewelers celebrate the moment.
Hey, it's Gooch. The Kill Pop Awards are almost here. This Sunday inside the Hard Rock Live on the Strip. Finally, an awards show where the winners are picked by the people that really matter. The fans. Hosted by Carlota and myself, with special guest Chris Kale of Five Finger Death Punch. Tickets are only $10, with proceeds going to benefit Hard Rock Heels. Don't miss the Kill Pop Awards this Sunday night at the Hard Rock Live on the Strip. Doors at 7 and the show starts at 7:30. For more information, go to killpop.com. The Grammys.
In every state in the country.
Good morning, Piston Service, Kent speaking.
And in every city and every state.
Rapid Lube, this is Jeremy. How can I help you?
You'll find a local auto shop that's probably been there for years.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
This is Matt.
Kent speaking.
This is Ben.
Phil, can I help you?
And in most of those shops.
Thank you for choosing All Tires, Staten Island's home for tires and service.
You'll find us.
This is Lynn. How may I help you?
Interstate Batteries are sold in over 100,000 locally owned locations across the nation. Find the one near you at interstatebatteries.com.
Take care.
Hey, Rebel fans, this is head coach Marvin Menzies. While we're on the road this season, keep the running Rebel spirit alive and head over to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road.
Come watch the Rebels play on our 120-inch HD projection screen. Enjoy $5 appetizers from our Best of Las Vegas award-winning menu that you voted as Best Bar Food 2016 Las Vegas, plus $3 Coors Light, $4 Blue Moon, and even share a 100-ounce Coors Light tower with friends.
Thank you for your support, and go Rebels.
Triple it. Chapman Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram will triple your tax return up to $9,000 as a down payment on any new vehicle from our huge inventory. Put $1,000 down? We'll triple it to three. Can you find $2,000? We'll triple it to six. In fact, bring us $3,000 and Chapman will triple it to an incredible $9,000 down. That applies to all new Dodges, all new Chrysler's, every new Jeep, and our entire Ram truck lineup during Ram Truck Month. And Chapman continues to offer 0% financing for 84 months. That's free money for 7 years. Triple your tax return up to $9,000 at Chapman Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on East Sahara and Mojave, at Chapman Chrysler Jeep in the Valley Auto Mall, and at the all-new Ram Truck Center on Boulder Highway just south of Sahara. Visit LasVegasChapman.com for more information.
OAC rebates to dealer. Offers may not be combined. Dealers 307 and 1293. Chapman!
If you ever go to jail, need a little help making bail, you call Goodfellas Bail Bonds on the phone. We'll get you right back there, chilling at home, and you're free. Once you get out, we ain't finished with you. You get water, t-shirt, free ride too, and then a hug, yeah. Your nightmare and Goodfellas Bail Bond is your best friend. 384 Jail. Forget about it.
It's the MMA Insider. MMA Insider. The inside scoop and hardcore fight talk from the experts. Now, here's your hosts, Steve Cofield and Adam Hill.
Yeah, the experts are Adam Hill and Brett Okamoto from ESPN.com. Adam, of course, from CoveringTheCage.com, the Las Vegas Review Journal. They're the MMA guys, so we lean on them, especially with a pay-per-view this weekend. And Brett joins us from, I think, snowy New York before this Brooklyn card. What's up, Brett?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's the weather there?
It's not the best. You know, if you looked at my Twitter account, as I was walking to the open workouts today, there were some kids literally flooding down the sidewalk as I walked to the gym. It's a little bit different than Vegas, but it's all right.
There you go. Well, we got UFC 208 coming up at Barclays Center this weekend. I was actually just making the case that I'm not convinced that the 145-pound women's division is here to stay. Am I crazy on that?
No. I mean, literally, I think you'd be kind of crazy to think the opposite, you know, to think that it's just guaranteed to stay. I mean, the UFC, we haven't really heard anything about them signing another 145-pound women. And even Dana White himself has basically said, like, well, this really wasn't the plan. It was never the plan. But, you know, we wanted to create a division for Cyborg, and now she's not in it at the moment, you know, just because of what she's dealing with. But here we are, so we're just going to see how it goes. I mean, anytime that Dana White doesn't really have an answer for a question, his go-to is, we'll see what happens, and that's where this division is we'll see what happens.
So I've tried to keep up on some of the interviews, but I'm not being there. Holly Holm seemed like she was saying her goal, I think, is to win the 145-pound title and then kind of pursue the 135-pound title. After that, she's already talking about that. Is that the sense that you're getting from her?
That's been the sense I've gotten her from her since day one. I mean, since they announced that, you know, and really, where did this fight come from? It's because they were in discussions, you know, they were trying to find an opponent for Cyborg, and it basically came down to two women. There were two potential candidates. It was Holly Holm, and it was Jermaine Durandamé, but they really needed it to happen on February 11th because they needed a main event for UFC 208. Well, when Cyborg fell out, then they just went to, I guess, plan B was to just put those two candidates against one another. And so, you know, Holly Holm has never, ever since this fight was announced, she's basically said, I'm taking this opportunity because who wouldn't? I have an opportunity to be a two-weight world champion. I'd only be the fourth one ever in UFC history, but yes, I absolutely want to go back to 135 pounds, and I have not heard anything, you know, whether it was since the fight was announced, any other interviews that she's done in the meantime or even this week. It really seems like her focus is still just to stay 135, which is a little weird since she's fighting for the 145-pound title in 2 days.
Well, and that makes it even more crazy because Amanda Nunes says she's fighting for the 145-pound title next. Now, she has backed off that a little bit. I'm sure somebody told her behind the scenes, like, take it easy. We might not even have that fight going forward. But it does seem like everybody is trying to go to other divisions now. They want to be Conor McGregor and win two titles. But it makes sense. And I think we'll certainly see, you know, after this fight what they do with the 145-pound. But I think we're in agreement that might be the only time, or else maybe they reintro it at some point down the road with Cyborg. I'm not sure completely what they're going to do. But what do you think about the matchup? Holly Holm, Jermaine Durandamé, two different kinds of strikers, but definitely two strikers.
Definitely two strikers. I will say that just being around them today at the open workouts and you know, getting to see them work out and then, you know, speaking to the media briefly, Durandamé looks very comfortable. I mean, she looks like someone who has nothing to lose, which she doesn't. You know, this is a woman who is basically fighting on the prelim, and now she gets to headline a card at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, just because, really, she's one of the bigger bantamweights, and she was willing to go up to 145. So she's looking at this as, you know, I never expected this, and I'm going to make the most of it. Now she's a betting favorite. So it's a good week if you're Jermaine Durandamé. It was just something you never expected. And for Holm, I think it's completely different. She's got a lot of pressure on her. I mean, she said continuously, I don't want to be defined by one fight. I don't want to be defined by only defeating Ronda Rousey. Well, if she has that great performance against Rousey, and then she loses her next two fights, which she has, and then goes up in weight class and fights for another title and loses again, I think, you know, you can't take anything away from her. She's still a former champion, and she always will be. She's a very decorated combat sports athlete, but we will always sort of remember Holly Holm as, you know, the woman who looked great against Ronda Rousey on that one night. And so I think she's feeling a lot of pressure, whereas Durandamé is not feeling any. So how much of an effect that has on the fight, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something that I've felt, you know, being here on the ground.
Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com, here on the MMA Insiders with Adam Hill and Steve Cofield. From Brooklyn, snowy Brooklyn, and getting ready for UFC 208 on Saturday. Speaking of former champions, Holly Holm is one, Anderson Silva is another. We just posed the question, we'll throw it to you. He's on this card. Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's on this card, I would say, really for two reasons. One is because it needed some help. You know, I mean, I think fans were like, really? We're getting to Durandamé versus Holly Holm. That's the main event. So I think that, you know, it needed some star power. It needed that boost. And Anderson Silva still gives that, you know, even though he hasn't officially won a fight in years. And I think another reason that he's on this is just because it gives him more time to... you know, it gives him time to get a fight in 2017 and then still be, it puts him on schedule to potentially fight in June, which, you know, I've heard there's a rumored pay-per-view card down in Brazil. So I think that that's important to him. You know, there's a big card down in Brazil. He wants to be a part of that. And so did he want to wait around and wait until June, is it the summer, to participate in that? Or did he want to get a fight in first? I think he wanted to get a fight in first. So this kills two birds with one stone. It gives a card that needed it, some star power, and it puts him on a schedule to fight in his native country later this year.
Well, I definitely framed the question not how I probably should have, but I think the bigger question is, why is he fighting? Because I think you're completely right. He's getting this fight just as Jacare is, to try to get victories and then you know, be a part of that card that's going to be in Brazil. It makes perfect sense for the timing and makes perfect sense why he would be added to this card to have some star power behind that main event. But what is he still fighting for?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, you know, and I think I actually think that this is a very important fight in terms of what he's going to be, what types of fights is he going to be taking moving forward, because even though the guy has not won a fight in what has it been, you know, 4 or 5 years now? His last win, official win, was against Stephen Bonner, and then he had a win that was taken away from him against Nick Diaz because of the positive steroid test. But, you know, I think in reality, he's still not that far away from a title shot, as crazy as that sounds. If Michael Bisping is still the champion, he just had a close fight with him, you know, 1 year ago. And I think that the UFC has an easy, sellable story there if Bisping were to remain the champion. So I think by putting him in against a guy again with Derek Brunson, who is, I believe, what, has won 5 of his last 6, even though he's coming off of a loss, you can still legitimize him as a title contender. If he goes out and looks bad and, you know, potentially gets finished, gets knocked out, then we start to look at Anderson Silva truly, truly in a very different light, and that is he is at the stage of his career where he should only take these, you know, retirement fights. He fights against older guys. He fights that don't, you know, really put him into title contention. So in a weird way, like, you're bringing up the question, Adam, like, why is he still even fighting at all? But at the same time, if he wins this fight, the guy is still in title contention. As crazy as that sounds, you know, that's how the sport goes. He's still in title contention.
Yeah, especially because he recently had a fight against the champion where he almost won and maybe should have won. I mean, so yeah. It's crazy, but that's the situation that he's in. You know, we mentioned Jacare on the card as well. Looks like he's not the top contender, but he's certainly in that mix. This is kind of a risky fight for him. I mean, he's right up there, and he's going against a guy in Tim Boetsch, who is a, you know, he's a fine fighter, but, you know, a loss to him does huge damage to Jacare's standing as a contender.
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation for him to be in, you know, and it is what it is. I mean, we look at the middleweight division, and, like, you can understand from a business standpoint why Jacare hasn't gotten the title shot, you know, and Rockhold was there, and you know, Bisping somehow upset Rockhold. Then they had to do the Bisping-Dan Henderson fight, I guess. You know, I mean, I wasn't really in favor of that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't think you were in favor of that either, no. Adam. I mean, that was not really an official title fight, you know, to most observers. But from business sense, you can understand why it happened. And this is just sort of the situation that Jacare is in. He wanted to take a fight. He wanted to stay somewhat active. He needed a paycheck. And you're right, it is a very risky fight. You know, I go back to that main event. Who's all the pressure on? It's on Holly Holm. In this fight, all the pressure is on Jacare Souza. Tim Boetsch is going in there saying, all I got to do is land one right hand and throw a complete wrench into this middleweight division. So it's a weird fight. There are a lot of weird fights on this UFC 208 card.
Brad, we appreciate a couple minutes. You in next week? You going to be with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wish I was there. Wish I was there tonight. Sounds like the weather's a little bit nicer.
Yeah, well. You're the man on the road, so we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. See you guys.
There you go. John, looking sad, his buddy, Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com. You see him on TV, you see him on video. He's very good at what he does. So is Adam. All right. That sounded disingenuous, but I meant that.
TK Okamoto.
Last two minutes. Let's make some fight picks here. We are tracking these. Adam says in this new era of the MMA Insiders, he will hit at a 84% clip.
Shooting for 45.
45% clip? Yeah. How deep do you want to go on the card? We'll do the top five fights.
Sounds good. Main card.
Since we usually run out of time, we'll start with the main event. My reaction to the spreads on the first two fights, I'm like, what? Favored? I guess I'll take Holly Holm with a little value, plus 113. Duran to me, you know, anywhere from 135, 127. What do you think?
Yeah, as I said, I like Holly Holm because I like the style matchup. Holly Holm is much, much better when you come forward, you put pressure on her, and she can counterpunch. She struggles when you stand back and don't attack and make her be the aggressor. And I think Duran to me comes forward. I think Duran to me certainly has a chance to win, and as you see, she's favored. The style matchup is really good for Holly Holm. I'm going to take Holly Holm.
Derek Brunson is favored over the legend Anderson Silva. He's minus 155. I'll take Silva.
You can go ahead and do that. I think the one chance that Silva has, and I'm going to take Derek Brunson, he's a guy who has a lot of tools, and I think he can control this fight by taking it down to the ground and just pounding out Anderson Silva.
You think he's smart enough to do that? That's always the question with Silva.
That's what I was getting to. But yeah. I think he's smart enough to, but I think there's also something in his mind of, I have a bunch of knockouts lately. I have a chance to knock out Anderson Silva, one of the greatest strikers of all time. So I'm worried he's going to get suckered into that game, but I think Brunson has too many tools. I'll take Brunson.
Massive favorite, Jacare against Tim Boetsch, minus 500. I'm not taking the dog here. Not playing it, but I'm not taking the dog. Boetsch,
no.
You know, plus 431.
If the fight touches the mat, Jacare wins, so I think Jacare's going to win.
I may take a shot with Jared Cannonier, an up-and-coming 205er. He's been given a big assignment here with Glover Teixeira. Glover's old.
He really
and
is.
And Glover stays in the pocket, so I think he could get caught here. So Cannoneer, you can get as high as plus 186.
Yep, we're on the same side of this one.
And the last one, Jim Miller, who's got 1,000 fights, is fighting in his home area in the UFC against Dustin Poirier. I don't like Poirier in the spotlight. This is not really a spotlight fight, but minus 450 on the Poirier side is insane.
Dustin Poirier is incredibly talented. He's an unbelievable fighter, but this is way too big of a number. I think you have to bet the underdog if you're betting the fight, but I will bet this as fight of the night. So if you can bet that, do it.
Podcast, LVSportsNetwork.com. We're back. MMA Insiders, Thursdays at 6 o'clock.